Hello. This is 050 on the radio. This is Monday, October 26th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We are filled up twice today. Later on today at 6 o'clock, we will have my NBA preview, what's going to happen, where they're going to finish, who's going to be the final four team standing, who's going to be the MVP. Surprises, non-surprises. It's going to be in there somewhere where, so that'll be standard time. All right, but we got to get to some directives, what's going on in the world of sports. Hey, we got the World Series as the Mets will play the Royals. And this should be one of those really interesting series because, like almost all World Series, it's going to come down to pitching. And we know the Mets, pitching-wise, they've been outstanding. Their four-man rotation, I did say four, Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and Steven Matt, they have been outstanding. Standing in the postseason, and you know that's pretty intimidating. All of them could throw 95-plus. They all got good stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, the Mets, they have some swag to them now. They have been on cook ever since they made trades at the trade deadline to boost their offense. And ever since they've done that, they have been rolling downhill with no breaks. They have been on an almost unstoppable surge, but the most consistent team in the last year and a half has flat out been the Kansas City Royals, and they are back in the World Series again. Hey, we know the routine. They got Cueto, they got Ventura, they got Volquez, they have Wade Davis over there as their closer. And when it comes to pitching, you know, a lot of people are forgetting that these two teams do have offenses. But even then, they're just pointing to just one person, maybe a Cespedes for the Mets or Alex Gordon for the Royals. I think this one, though, could go down to the National League Championship Series MVP. Because I believe Escobar is going to drive the Mets pitchers crazy. I think the Royals are going to get on their giddy up and start running. I don't know if they're going to be running like they did last year, but I think they're going to start running. I think the series is going to be a good one, but I do believe the Royals will claim the title they thought they were going to get last year, this year, and I think it'll be in game. Not dissing the Mets, though. I do believe the Mets. Boy, their arms don't fade out. They're going to be really good for a really, really long time. All right. Well, that's my World Series right there. That's such a short preview. But I got to have a short preview because the NFL is just getting more wacky. And we don't even need to talk about college football. My goodness. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it was week 7 in the NFL, and the skin down 24-0. It looked like it was going to be a rough 2 weeks for this organization because people were about to let loose on them. But down 24-0, they came back and had the greatest comeback ever for them. Winning 31-30, the last 30 seconds touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins to Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed had an unbelievable day, had 11 catches, 2 touchdowns. He was rocking and rolling, but Kirk Cousins, 317 yards, 3 touchdowns, but more importantly, no interceptions. Now, hey, we did have a fumble for a touchdown, but, hey, we're not going to get picky. If he's not throwing interceptions, I'm pretty satisfied because, again, always say this, when he has not thrown interceptions, and they come in twos when it comes with him. When he throws one, he's going to throw another. The skin do not lose. They have not lost this year when he has not thrown an interception. And that is the case again. And the funny thing is, both quarterbacks had really good games. Jameis Winston had 297 yards and two touchdowns. And so he finally started hooking up with Mike Evans. Mike Evans had 8 catches, 164 yards, and a touchdown, a big-time throw earlier on in the game. But the Skins found a way to take it out, and they're in the middle of this, I don't even know what to call it, NFC East. I mean, we know the NFC East is a prideful division, but they are not playing like it right now. We'll talk about the rest of them in a little while. But, man, you just got to wonder. But anyway, hey, it was 2-0 for the home team. Well, not the home team, but for the teams that I like, the Raiders rolled over the San Diego Chargers. I was going to say Chargers because I didn't even say Oakland Raiders because we don't know where they're going to be next year. And 37-29, the Raiders just stomped on them early, was up 30-3. There was like, who is this team? But I keep telling people this team can play. Derek Carr, unbelievable. 5 catches, 133 yards, and a touchdown. Latavius Murray ran for 85 yards. He scored a touchdown. I'm telling you, they're not the triplets. But for the Raider Nation, it's the first time you see a semblance of some offensive continuity with 3 guys who can play. Hey, Derek Carr can play, but look here, you got to have those pieces around him. And Amari Cooper is simply getting it done. But we can't count out those other guys. Hey, Michael Crabtree, Clive Watford, hey, they are getting it done. The Raiders, and I know people are sleeping. I am telling you not to sleep on the Raiders throughout the season. I still think they're going 8-8. I said, I believe I said that at the beginning of the season. Even that there would be a good team. They have talent out there. They could just get their offensive line, the Madden, straightened out. But they haven't had too many issues this year on the offensive end. Anyway, defensive end, another story. London, it was a wacky game. You look up 1 second and you're like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, I don't want to watch this anymore. And then you turn back around. And then you look up again, and you say, what in the world is going on here? Here's the Bills, they were getting drilled. The Jacksonville had scored back-to-back defensive touchdowns. Who does that? Then had another interception, scored again. It was about to get really, really ugly. And the Bills come back. Not only do they come back, they take the lead. And what do they take the lead on? That's right, you know, a pick 6. I mean, we know how this rolls. And next thing you know, Blake Bortles and the Jaguars go straight down the field. They'll score a touchdown, great pass and catch by Allen Hurts. And they took the Bills 34-31. Hey, Bortles is not bad. Had 182 yards and 2 touchdowns with 1 pick. And, you know, the game was chock-filled with so many turnovers. So the MARTA game by E.J. Manuel, that was really good. He had 298 yards passing, but the problem was he had the early part of the game. He had 2 touchdowns, but he also had 2 interceptions. Meanwhile, in New England, you know the Patriots ready for the Jets, but they barely made it past 30-23. Hey, Tom Brady, he got a rocking and rolling 2 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. He threw for 355 yards and those 2 touchdowns. You know he hit the Gronk as Gronkowski had 11 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown. That I thought today. Tom Brady went back to pass, well, dropped back on 90.9% of the plays for the Patriots yesterday. 90.9. Who the heck does that? That's just like something you do not do. But check this out. When that happens, the Patriots are 4-0. 4-0. the rest of the league, when their quarterbacks do that, let's try this. 3-109. Are you kidding me? Who never heard of some crazy stat like that? But that shows you the importance of Tom Brady to that team. Watch out, the Patriots. I still don't think they're anywhere to go undefeated. But they are starting to gain that momentum. And meet the Jets, I do not think they will be beating them in the middle lane. So I think it's going to happen. And plus, wait till they play Miami again. Whoa, is that going to be? I'm gonna leave it right there. Meanwhile, the team that I had winning the AFC, ooh-wee, boy, I better do an about face. The Indianapolis Colts, they are in a world of trouble. They came up and they lost to the New Orleans Saints 27-21. And again, it's the same typical thing for the Colts. They get off to a slow start, then they got to catch up. And when they gotta catch up, they don't catch up enough, as they say. And this team right now, they are in trouble. Not the ones paying attention. They are 3-4. I thought they would have 4 losses for the entire season. Right now, they are 3-4. They have had injury issues most of the time, but their main issue is, yo, where is the competitiveness in the team? Andrew Luck, he had really good numbers. He had 333 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the fact is, defensively, they have been a sieve. Mark Ingram cut them up yesterday. 14 carries, 143 yards. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's more than 10 yards a carry. He scored a touchdown. They just don't look. I do not know what is up with the Colts, but I did not believe Robert Mathis to have a huge year, but, man, I thought they would do a lot better than what they've been doing. T.Y. Hilton had a huge day, 4 catches, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns with the Colts. They better get it going. Luckily for them, they're in a division that's so bad that they know they still can win this division pretty easily. Meanwhile, in the NFC North, man, I'm starting to like those Vikings. They went 4-2 yesterday, beating the Lions 28-19 in Detroit. Teddy Bridgewater getting it done, 316 yards and 2 touchdowns. Adrian Peterson went for 98 yards, and here we go. You know WCAC, Stephon Diggs. 6 catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Talking about who's on the hot seat, how come there's no one saying anything about the Lions' dead job? I mean, my goodness, 1-6, got Megatron out there. You got people out there, but they are not getting it done. Meanwhile, the New York football Giants, I just wanted to say that one time. I get tired of Chris Berman being the only one I can say it. The Giants came back, beat the Cowboys. Yeah. I know Cowboys fans. It was tied at 20. But, hey, nobody told y'all to get rid of Dwayne Harris. And he came back and burnt y'all with a 100-yard kickoff return for the game-winning touchdown yesterday. And, hey, the Cowboys did a great job defensively against the Giants. Hey, the Giants had a touchdown on all 3 phases of offense. On defense, they had a pick six, and on the kickoff return on special teams. That's how they won the game. The offense wasn't destroying the Cowboys' defense. That just wasn't happening. Peyton Manning had pedestrian numbers as we speak. Look. And the offense, they can't really complain too much because for the first time all year, they had a big-time running game. Darren McFadden, 152 yards and a touchdown. Holy moly, you know that was the 4th most in his career. I had to throw that out there just so I wouldn't have to hear from McFadden fans in the Breakfast Club today. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, Carolina. Philadelphia. The Eagles, they were not ready for the Panthers. The Panthers took them out 27-16. And Newton didn't even have a great day. He threw three interceptions, but Jonathan Stewart got it done, 125 yards rushing. The defense was stout. Sam Bradford, you got to wonder if Sam Bradford, you know, skittish after this weekend. He had the 5 sacks. I believe they dropped 7 passes yesterday. They just, you know, they're just not on the continuity bit right now. And the Eagles, they're going to have to pick themselves up too, even though right now they look as good or better anybody else winning the NFC East, that's for sure. My gracious. Well, got to get into college football because you know I've been waiting to get on this one all weekend long. Hey, I'll talk about the rest of the ACC before I – you know what? I'm going to skip that part. I might save it at the end. But you know I'm getting to what happened in South Beach this weekend. And meanwhile, Georgia Tech, they upset Florida State. They on a blocked field goal. Lance Austin picks it up, runs it back for the game-winning touchdown with no time left. You know, how interesting was it they were – Florida State kicked a 56-yard field goal, and last week from another 56-yard field goal. How about that? That matter of fact, we'll talk about him in a second. Florida State had their 30-game win streak snapped. The last time they lost a regular season game was Florida in 2012. How about that? Florida State has been on a roll and rumbling. And meanwhile, the Dukies found a way to get one in Blacksburg, beating Virginia Tech 45-43. It took 4 overtimes to do it, though. Hey, Thomas Dirk, he had 270 yards and 4 touchdowns. Downs 2 of them to Max McCaffrey, who caught 6 passes for 94 yards. Then you have Pitt. Well, they did it again, you know, playing Syracuse down to the last second. And Chris Bleifert was the dude that hit the field goal for hit the 56-yarder against Georgia Tech last week. He had a 25-yarder, much easier, to win the game in Syracuse. Hey, got to give Pitt some credit here. They do not have Mr. Connor out there. They're out there with a freshman, Quadre Olison. He ran for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns, and they get it done in Pitt. I keep telling people, hey, if you want a running back, just wait around for a Pitt running back to come out because they keep some stock over there. Meanwhile, North Carolina, the team that everybody is forgetting, how is this team 6-1 and not ranked? Somebody better answer that one for me. I mean, they lost to, granted, they did lose to South Carolina, but my goodness, they are 6-1. They come up, they beat Virginia 26-13. They're undefeated in the ACC. Elijah Wood, 101 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. And the defense forced 5 turnovers. Hey, you gotta give them credit over there if you're anybody in the ACC, knowing the stuff that was going on in North Carolina, what's going on still in North Carolina in terms of the investigations, and Larry Fedora just getting it done. I mean, he's just getting it done. That's all he's doing. It ain't big, ain't small, just getting it done, just like he did over there at Southern Miss. And watch out, Carolina is a rolling. Meanwhile, in the Pac-12, yeah, USC just like you to get mad and dump on Utah. Man, they just ran over Utah like that 42-24, and it wasn't even that close. Cody Kessler at 264 yards and a touchdown. Ronald Jones, he ran for a touchdown, but the key dude was Cameron Smith. He had 3 interceptions, including a pick six. and they just dusted the Utes. They didn't. It wasn't even a game. It was romp pity town with no pity. That thing was done over, and it was lock, stock, and barrel. Then you do, so you have that, and then you have Stanford. They keep just keep it moving. 31-14 over Washington. And Hogan had two touchdown passes, but the guy tonight, Christian McCaffrey, man, he is almost a show every night in terms of especially all-purpose yards, 109 yards rushing and a touchdown, 112 yards receiving and a touchdown. Just fantastic. My goodness gracious. Gracious, just getting it done. And then you have Washington State. I keep telling, I know people are tired of me talking about them, but I got to keep talking about them because they keep winning. Anybody remember the coach over there at Washington State? Yeah, you know it. Mike Leach is out there. They're 5-2, 3-1 in the Pac-12. They beat Arizona 45-42. And just for those who want to know, no, I do not want Rich Rod. And the questions that I'll have later on, I'm just stating that right now. Doing a good job at Arizona. Do not want him. And meanwhile, Luke Falk had threw the ball 62 times for Washington State, 514 yards, 5 touchdowns. Down, look here, big time. Luke Falk, and you could make a nice argument. The Pac-12 has the best senior quarterback in the country in Jared Goff, the best sophomore quarterback in the country in Luke Falk, and the best freshman in the country, quarterback in the country in Josh Rosen. Just something to throw about. Wait a minute, did I talk about? I didn't know. My goodness. Did not talk about Josh Rosen and the Bruins beating Cal 40-34. Rosen had a few record 34 completions. He threw for 399 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hit Thomas Duarte. He was hitting them all night. 10 catches, 141 yards. He scored a touchdown. Jared Goff was not bad. He had 3 touchdowns as well, 295 yards. You know, you look in the Pac-12, and you got to wonder, man, beating Utah really crippled some playoff hope. But as I keep telling people all the time, he hadn't really even started yet. It's still October. If it's still October, stuff hadn't really started moving yet. So calm down, pump your brakes. Calm down, pump your brakes. SEC, wasn't a lot moving in the SEC. I mean, hey, LSU, they played Western Kentucky. Do you really want me to talk about that for next? 150 yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, that's really what we need to talk about as he keeps on marching towards the Heisman. Meanwhile, wow, Alabama, they struggled against Tennessee. They beat them 19-14. Derrick Henry, he carried the way, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, but they struggled. They did not roll under any circumstances. Meanwhile, Ole Miss, they laid the smackdown. Laying them. Texas A&M never had a chance. I mean, never had a chance. And this is the most dominant defensive performance I've seen Ole Miss put up. And they, you know, they're missing people. Chad Kelly had a nice day, 241 yards, 2 touchdowns. But it's Laquon Treadwell. Man, I'm starting to think this dude's going to be the man. 5 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Now, He's starting to have me believing. He's starting to have me believe here. And got to talk about the other four overtime games in Arkansas. With Razorbacks beat Auburn 54-46. Auburn was supposed to be a national championship contender, I believe. They are now 4-3. I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna say anymore. I'm gonna just leave it at that. And I have to talk about them. I got to do it. I know a lot of people mess around there, didn't want me to talk about, but I got to talk about the New American Conference. They are getting it done, ladies and gentlemen, in football. I didn't say football right. In football. Now, I said it earlier on Thursday. Hey, I'm going to talk about them if they get it done, and they got it done. Temple, They go 7-0 for the first time in their history, beating East Carolina 24-14. It was their first win for a Temple team, for a ranked Temple team since FDR was president, ladies and gentlemen. FDR. There wasn't Pearl Harbor yet. Are you kidding me? 1941, that's the last time a ranked Temple team won a game. 7-0, best start in school history. Man, it should be a lot of fun in Philadelphia. My goodness, Temple getting it done out there. Meanwhile, Memphis, they just keep it moving too. They rolled over Tulsa, 66-42. Paxton Lynch getting it done again, 447 yards. And four touchdowns. Then you have Memphis. They ran over UFC, 459-10. Kenneth Farrow had 163 yards rushing and three touchdowns. And I got to mention this one. I got to mention the home team. What about the Naval Academy? The Midshipmen. That's right. They're 5-1. They're undefeated. They're undefeated in the American Conference just like the rest of those dudes. They come up and they take out Tulane 31-14. You know Keenan Reynolds. You know what he does. He ran for a pair of touchdowns. Hey, it's going to be interesting. I'm telling people it's going to be really interesting looking at this later on. Meanwhile, the Big Ten, y'all know what happened. Y'all know Ohio State beat down Rutgers. J.T. Barrett, he has his starting spot back. Wisconsin, hey, they're a surprise team. They're 6-1, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to say it too loud, but they're 6-1. Penn State, they're 6-2. They came down here and beat Maryland. You know that was a grudge game for Mr. Franklin, who was supposed to be the head coach of Maryland before they got rid of him. The head coach at the same time, Ralph Friesen, Christian Hackenberg, had 315 yards and then three touchdowns. William & Mary rolled over Hampton. Yeah. 40-7. That did not taste too good at all. I was trying to say it real fast so I wouldn't feel it as much, and it didn't work. And Grambling, Louisiana, the Grambling State Tigers took out Mississippi Valley State 49-14. All right, I have 2 minutes left. 2 minute warning. I saved it up. You know what I'm going to talk about. I got to talk about my Canes. A team got beat down by Clemson 58-0 in the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in South Beach as a fan, period. It was absolutely embarrassing. I've been saying that Al Golden should be gone for a long time now, and thank heavens it happened on Sunday. The player said it, which is the only people that you need to talk about when it comes to alums, because I am still upset when they got rid of Randy Shannon, because that was the total alumnus trying to flex it that they have. If you want to flex the muscles, get a home stadium for the team. Their home field is putrid and the most pathetic in all of college football. Well, now, how about that? Get a 50,000-foot seat stadium and pack it every week. The fact of the matter is Miami has fallen off. Their talent is still there. You know you have problems when you have 6 wins and you have 7 dudes drafted in the NFL. That's what Golden had. He could recruit, but he could not coach. Look at here. Everybody's asking for coaches. There's only 5 that I even want to hear here. Butch Davis, Mike Schiano. Then you have Dino Beavers of Bowling Green, Matt Campbell of Toledo, and Tom Herman of University of Houston. If there's anybody else named in this outside of those 5 dudes, if anybody else gets the job, I will be hot and on fire. I'll just let y'all know right now. No sense in even hiding or denying it. The most embarrassing loss, 58-0 to Clemson. They need to get a catch a beat down next week. All right, remember, 6 o'clock, we will have the NBA preview. We will be excited because you know it's basketball season. So, and bye-bye.